Okay, turn your Bibles again to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Second Timothy chapter 4. This morning, as we looked at this passage of Scripture, looked at the statement of the Apostle Paul, why he was ready, why he was able to say that he was ready to meet the Lord. He was ready for his life to be offered up. And we looked at those three aspects of his readiness. And tells us, verse 7, that he had fought a good fight. He had kept the faith, and he had finished the course. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, we see before these words, we have some instructions to Timothy himself. And really, as you look at this, these are some instructions to Timothy that parallel this readiness of the Lord, and really gives us the road for Timothy to be able to match Paul's performance. The road for Timothy to be able to match Paul's performance and to be ready to meet the Lord. In verse 5, he gives us these great instructions, but watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. He gives us four aspects and four instructions, exhortations of Timothy that certainly would are important for him, as now the torch is passed over to Timothy. Paul will be gone, and he will someday as well need to be ready to meet the Lord. And there's some simple instructions. Of course, it comes after that chapter of perilous times. Of course, it comes after those instructions that evil men shall wax worse, deceiving and being deceived. Of course, it comes after those instructions that men will not endure sound doctrine. It comes after all of these instructions, in which there will be a general turning away from the truth. And yet Paul gives Timothy very sound advice here. He says, watch thou in all things. Watch thou in all things. We have that same truth in the Lord, with the Lord and the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26:41. They were soon going to be faced with the mob that would take away the Lord Jesus. Soon they would be faced with the words of the Lord, where the Lord said that Satan wanted to sift Peter as wheat. And the Lord said, watch thou. Cannot you watch with me 1 hour? He said, watch thou in all things. Watch. You know, this is a statement of alertness, of spiritual alertness. Be vigilant. That's spiritual alertness. Be vigilant. Be sober. For your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, this instruction of watching is a vital truth for everyone. We can be living the Christian life, but not watching. We can be just kind of going through the motions and be in very great danger because we do not watch. We do not watch. I was thinking about this. Boy, there's so many things to watch out for. There's so many things to watch out for. And it requires alertness. You know, and he kind of put it into a perspective of a pastor, of a preacher. There's a multitude of things that people need to watch out for. And Timothy needed to watch. He said, watch thou in all things. You know what? He needed to watch out about money. You know, the love of money is the root of all evil. You know, some people fall because of money. And they don't watch. They're not alert. You know, if you're going down the driveway, down the freeway, and you see a bunch of trucks in the ditch, you know, it's probably a good time to be watchful, right? I remember one time I was going down the freeway, and right in front of me, there's this vehicle, maybe 30 seconds in front of me, was out in the ditch. And I just passed a couple trucks in the ditch. And I said, you know what? I think I better slow way down. You need to watch it. You know, money is a great enemy. We had a fellow talking to us yesterday at soul winning, and he just talked about all these false preachers. And you know, one thing that a lot of these false preachers have in common, you know what it is? Money. Money. Benny Hinn, Joel Osteen. Boy, I tell you what, they got a real problem. You know, I never had a problem with figuring out that Jimmy Swaggart was all messed up. I never heard him preach. I turned him on. I remember this is 30-some years ago. We were having church at the house, and it was Sunday night. And I couldn't hardly stand not having church. We had it canceled because of a huge snowstorm. And we certainly didn't have any equipment in those days to open up our driveway. And so we couldn't have church. And boy, it was like, what do we do? I says, well, I'll just turn on TV and we'll have some kind of, I'll hear some preaching. And lo and behold, I never heard of this fella. Jimmy Swaggart was on. And I turned on the TV. And here's this guy, he's got this, $100,000 ring on. And I says, that's enough. I don't need to know anything else about this guy. Turned him off. I didn't even know his doctrine. I knew how he was living. It wasn't right. You know, people don't understand that. You know, you don't have to look too far to find out what's going on. I turned him off. Money. You know, so many Christians get off track because of money. Money. They look at life as the opportunity to make money. They look at that the pathway of life is all about where they could make the most dollars. They look at the pathway of life in dollar signs, not in scripture verses. You know, money is not really very important in comparison to your soul. What is a little money? What is a little money? What is a lot of money? Money is nothing in comparison to what the Bible says and the Bible principles that people violate to get a few bucks. You know, if you're violating the Bible for a few dollars, guess what? Your eyes aren't open. You aren't watching. Because you are on a path of danger. Danger. Money is a very dangerous thing. And you know, some people, you can almost see it. You can see young people. You can see the choices that they make. And you can almost see the dollar signs right in their eyes. And it's not about the Bible. It's not about God. It's not about God's will. It's about money. It says, watch thou in all things. And I'm sure that, and of course, 1 Timothy has talked about that. Money. Watch thou in all things. Watch about your motives. You know, we have to decide that what kind of motives that you are, what we have. You know, you have the wrong motives, and that is going to spell disaster for you. You know, the devil has destroyed many of people for the wrong motives. The devil has destroyed many a person, whispered in their ear, boy, aren't you good? Didn't you do something great? Isn't that wonderful? Someone's going to notice. You know, the devil is there to for you to take the glory away from the Lord Jesus. The devil is there to make you do something for the wrong reason. You know, this isn't about getting people's attention. This is about pleasing Jesus Christ. I wonder, who are you living for? Who are you living for? You know, if you have the wrong motives, I've heard plenty of stories. There was a great evangelist by the name of Jack Schuller. He had all the equipment of a Billy Graham. He came from a great preaching family. But the devil tried to tell him he was great. And soon, he wasn't serving God at all. Motives. Watch thou in all things. There are so many areas. Morals. Marriage. Watch thou in all things. What is the devil going to use to take you down? Wrong friends. You know, it all can be over just like that, can't it? If a person isn't watching. Watch thou in all things. And then he says, this kind of is along the line of what we talked about. Endure afflictions. Endure afflictions. Endure hardship. 2 Timothy chapter 2. It emphasizes that. Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, we live in a day of softies. You know, even if video games weren't a waste of time, and even if video games didn't fill your mind with a bunch of junk, and if video games, didn't connect you with the wrong people, the wrong kind of music, and the wrong kind of actions, you know what? They're wrong because they make you soft. They make you soft. We live in a day of softies. Softies. And because life is soft. You know, I was just reading that a book about the washers in Togo and Mrs. Washer was lamenting the fact there weren't enough young people going into the mission field. And she was talking about the fact that pastors need to preach sacrifice. Learn how to sacrifice for God. Learn how to do without. Learn how to enjoy having little. Because people aren't going to the mission field because they're afraid of the sacrifice. Or when they get to the mission field, they're such softies that they can't do anything for God. And we have what the Apostle Paul is saying. Endure hardship. Endure hardship. Well, you know, there's a lot of ways that you can endure hardship. Well, what's the opposite of enduring hardship? The opposite is quitting hardship, running from hardship, escaping hardship. And, you know, you can almost watch people. And they're calculating, boy, this is going to be hard. And, you know, the immediate answer is what? I'm not going to do it. That's going to be hard. You know, it's not is if it's the will of God. It's not is it right. It's not does it follow Bible principles. It isn't is this God's will. They're thinking, is this going to be hard? What is the byword of the Christian life? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and come follow me. You know, we live in a day of softies, right? Softies. Take it easy. Have an easy life. Anything that's going to cost you something, anything that's going to be hard, boy, you know, avoid it like a plague. Well, put it in the context of what we're talking about. The context is, Timothy, you know, I'm going to be gone. And you know, Timothy, there's some things that you need to really think about and you need to practice in your life if you're going to make it. I'm not going to be here to be that encouragement, that example, that support that you have been helped by. And of course, this is a message for God's people of all time, for all ages. And it still applies today. He says, endure hardship. Endure hardship. Then he says, do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. You know, it was great to hear the testimonies tonight of people witnessing. That is a blessing. And but I think we need more. I think we need more. You know, serving the Lord in multitude of capacities is not a substitute for soul winning. Serving the Lord in multitude of capacities is not a substitute for soul winning. You can be the greatest church cleaner, and I appreciate the church cleaners. I tell you what, that's a great job. And you can make all this great food. And you can do all these things serving the Lord. But it is not a substitute for personal soul winning. I thought it would read a couple paragraphs by William McCarroll about the importance of personal evangelism. He said, to fish for men, you must fish. Fishing for men keeps you fresh, fragrant, and fruitful. You cannot follow Christ without fishing for men. When run down, fish for men. It will refresh you. To do personal soul winning gives pulpit conviction, fire, and effectiveness. He says, I have an address on the mixed blessing. It is on soul winning. How it is related to all other blessings. Soul winning will develop you in prayer. Common sense, tact, Bible knowledge, and holiness. The mixed blessing, the missed blessing, is the failure to win souls. You will dry up personally if you leave personal evangelism out of your life. Even though you may draw crowds and be popular, personal soul winning makes truth felt. It solves personal, practically every church problem. Giving, missions, attendance, spirituality. You will find new possibilities in yourself if you win souls. Your people will get a vision of the poor and needy if they press into the hospitals, jails, and other institutions to do personal work. You know, soul winning, you know, it will keep you fresh. It will keep you close to the Lord. It will cause you to have to depend upon God. It will bring us into spiritual reality. You know, there's some spiritual exercise it takes to be able to go out and say, Lord, where do you want me to go? It takes a spiritual exercise to be able to say, Lord, lead me, lead us to the right place. It takes a spiritual exercise to be able to go down a street and say, you know what? I think we need to go down that street. I think it takes a spiritual vitality to be able to say, you know, I think that man we just went by, I think that's the man we're supposed to talk to today. You know, that's where we need to be spiritually. We need to be doing the work of an evangelist. We need to be needing the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to need the leading of the Holy Spirit. We need to need the boldness of the Holy Spirit. We need to need the words that only the Holy Spirit can give us. We need to be in that place where God only can lead us to someone who is ready to hear the gospel and to be able to walk away and say, you know what? God did it. Do the work of an evangelist. William McCarroll said it so rightly. He said, a preacher can be preaching to great crowds, and he can be having effective pulpit ministry, but he could be missing the main thing. Do the work of an evangelist. You know, we can excuse ourselves and all the good things we do for the Lord as an excuse of why we don't do what God told us to do. Go out with the gospel. Now, as we put it in context, if we put it in context, I think there's a couple things that are true. Yep. It sure seems like we're in the last days. It sure fits 2 Timothy. It sure fits. People are listening to all sorts of other philosophies and not the Word of God. Churches are closed on Sunday night. People, they want a 20 minutes, patch on the back sermon every week. And, all this stuff, et cetera, et cetera. And churches aren't open on Sunday night. Churches aren't open on Wednesday night. And very few young people are going into the Lord's work. Bible colleges are full of young people that are out there to make the big buck and have a good life. And families are content just so they can have a nice little family. They could care less if the rest of the world goes to hell. And all of these things. But you know what else is missing? Very little soul winning. There's very little soul winning. And you know, for a long time, we kind of let the ball drop around here too. I hear evangelists. Hear the story of evangelists. And they say, you know, I go to a church typically, and the pastor doesn't even go soul winning. Hasn't gone soul winning for years. Evangelists say, go all over the country, pastors don't go soul winning. In the context, kind of interesting, it says do the work of an evangelist. In the day in which people don't go soul winning, in the day in which it's easy to make all the excuses why we shouldn't go soul winning, why our lives are so busy and we are content to do this or that for the Lord, but we don't go soul winning. Bible says, do the work of an evangelist. Of course, it's written to a preacher. And obviously, think about it. If the preacher isn't doing the work of a soul winner, certainly the church isn't going to be, right? Certainly the church isn't going to be. And then it says, make full proof of thy ministry. Make full proof of thy ministry. I suppose we could say a lot of things here, but it's basically saying don't neglect any part of thy sacred ministry. No. The Apostle Paul, in the book of Acts chapter 20, he gave some very good outline and thoughts of making full proof of one's ministry. And we'll take just a couple minutes looking at this as we close. Acts chapter 20, he said, I have not shunned to declare unto all the counsel of God. You know, I think about that. All the counsel of God. I know a preacher friend of mine, he said, you know, 30 years ago, I would have been considered mainstream fundamentalist. But I haven't changed my convictions. I haven't changed what I preach. And so now I'm considered a right-wing lunatic Christian. It's funny the different names people throw around nowadays. If you stand for something, you're probably going to be accused of being unbalanced. Notice how Paul said, verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. You know, there's a missionary in Africa, and they had great revival. And, of course, in the 60s, the communists tried to overtake all these newly independent nations in Africa. And one missionary left the field for a furlough, and he came back, and the whole work was just destroyed. And, one of the natives said to him, he said, Pastor, you know what? You taught us a lot of wonderful things, but you forgot to tell us about the snakes in the grass. You forgot to warn us about the snakes and those who'd want to destroy the work of God. There's many parts of the work of God that have to be maintained. The positive, the negative, the present, the future. How to match Paul's performance? Always be watching. Always be watching. Because there's always something that if we aren't watchful, life or sin or the devil will put in our life and trip us up. And we'll never lose our salvation, but we may lose our reward. We'll not lose our salvation, we'll not lose our Lord, but we could lose our future and God's will for our life. Watch thou, endure hardship. Don't be afraid of hardship. Don't be afraid of hardship. In fact, it might be good for some moms and dads to take away some of the comforts of their house. Maybe it would be good for some of you maybe order a pile of rocks or something, you know, from Robert's Nursery. And then have your kids take those rocks and move them to the backyard. And then the next day move them to the front yard. Next day move them to the backyard. Just why? So they can learn hardship. I'm sure you won't do it. But, you know, I think there's almost a prophetic thing here. Endure hardship. Endure afflictions. Don't be afraid of the hard thing. That's a part of God's plan. Do the work of an evangelist. Are you serving the Lord, but not soul winning? You know, I know life well enough, there's a reason. And that very reason that's keeping you from doing soul winning is the very thing that you and I need victory over. Whether it's fear, whether it's lack of compassion, whether it's disobedience, whatever it might be, we need to be ready for the Lord. Here's some important truths for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for simple truths in the Scripture that will help us. Help us, Lord, in these days. And now, Lord, we are dependent upon your Holy Spirit to find hearts to open hearts to apply these truths to hearts, to take them to heart. And Lord, only you can do it. All the preaching in the world, Lord, isn't going to change your soul. It has to be you and our willingness to let you work. And Lord, I pray that you will cause us to be on the watch and be a good watchman. And to avoid and to change, get rid of, to turn from, to be aware of all the dangers, the perils that would destroy our lives, watch in prayer. And Lord, Lord, we need to get back to normalcy here. And Lord, help us, Lord, each one of us, to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Help us not to be so busy that we are content to do everything but the work of an evangelist. Lord, work in my heart, work in our church, work in our men. May it become the normal path of life. Lord, now I give the invitation to you how you'd want to work. In Jesus' name, amen.